Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Overtime Sports Show with Mike Wood, coming to you live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the first day of June 2016. Have mercy, Christmas is right around the corner. This is month number 6, and I got a birthday coming up soon. Yes, birthday number 32. It is my world if I say I'm still 32 years old, and I'm 32 years old, so I will be 32 again this year. Special guest tonight. First of all, we have a co-host tonight. Alinda Van Smith will be on with us, but tonight we also have a very special guest. Now, I met this young man, oh, gosh, it seemed like eons ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, and he was at one of the local junior colleges around here, Lewisburg Junior College out of Lewisburg, North Carolina, and I was doing a show at one of the local restaurants. He came over. I talked to him on the phone, and then he came over, and I'm telling you right now, and I'm just not saying this, and people can, you know, they know me. They know I just don't say this. I knew that this young man had what it took to go to the next level, and the level after that, and the level after that, and then the sky being the limit. And you ask, why, pray tell, Mike, did you know that? He's got that thing. As a coach, as a player, as an athlete, you know when a guy's got that thing. And that's exactly what Mark Vandersloys has, and he's a head basketball coach at USC Aiken in Aiken, South Carolina. And I tell you, you know, great family man first. I mean, you just, when you talk to him, when you hear him, you know exactly what I'm talking about, the X's and the O's. But one thing that he stresses more than anything else, and this is why I think he and I get along so good, yes, toughness, grit, determination, but education first. Basketball is a privilege to play once you complete the requirements that need to be met for educational progress, if that makes sense. In other words, education first, and then basketball second, and then somewhere, you know, and that's just the way it is. And that is why he has been so successful everywhere he has gone. So without further ado, I'd like to bring in the man who walks on water, as far as I'm concerned, Mark Vandersloys, basketball coach at USC Aiken. How are you doing this evening, Coach Vandersloys?
Thanks, Mike. It's been a while. I appreciate you having me back on the show, man. This is bringing some nostalgia back in the house, so I'm glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
I know. We used to do this all the time. You know, back when we first met and I first started doing the show for, you know, Lewisburg U and Lewisburg, my health wasn't all that great. I was going through some things, but I was determined that I was going to be a part of the legacy that's going to be called you, because, you know, I made that commitment, because I tell you, I've just never met a young coach, an old coach, or any coach, and I've been around for a long time. According to my birthday, only 32 years. I've been around a long time, but I've never met someone, and I'm just not saying this, that's just really good at what they do. So I just want to say,
well, thank you.
You know, like, once again, welcome to the Overtime Sports Show. Now, Coach, last year was your first year at UNC Aiken.
Yep.
You moved up, and you inherited a team that was, you know, somebody else's team, but you start the process of building what you build, your recruiting, your philosophy, your just what practices are going to be like. I mean, then you know, the kids come in, are they going to change our practice uniforms, or we're still going to have the same amount of air in the basketball? There's so much uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Talk about the transition from coming from a junior college environment to a D2 environment, and what the struggles that brings.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, for me, I was fortunate that I'd been, after coaching for 14 years, I had been at three different levels. I coached Division I for 8 years. I was Division III for two, and being a junior college for five before taking on my first Division II stop here at USC Aiken. And I got a chance to see all the different facets of what building a team and being a part of a team was all about. So I had the luxury of seeing that before I got here. But, you know, it was a really neat situation for me coming from an opportunity at Lewisburg and making that jump to USC Aiken. You know, it was a challenge in the beginning, but it was a challenge that I was willing to take on. I got the job about 2 weeks before school started. My first day on the job was August 1st, and I knew it was going to be a little bit of an interesting situation from day one, just because anytime you take over a program, you're, like you said, you're having to build a new culture, not necessarily a bad or a good one. It's just more indifferent than the one before. And so we had a cultural change. We had a basketball change. We had a new coaching staff change. So all those things go into, the fire that brings on a level of uncertainty and insecurity with players that you have to build that trust over the course of time. And, you know, we came in with a notion that we were going to do things a certain way, with the understanding that we were going to have to adapt and to tinker a little bit along the way as well, in terms of our philosophy on the court. But, we had 8 eligible players when I first got the job. We recruited a couple here to help us to have at least a 5-on-5 get up and down the court practice. And we had great kids. That was something I was very, very fortunate of. You know, I came into a program that the character with the guys on the team was top notch. So that really made the transition easy. So, you said I had the it factor. I wish I had the it factor this year, because it definitely didn't show up in the wins loss column. But as we talked about it before, you know, it is a process, and we are looking to build something, very big here, and we want to take it to the next level. You know, the program here did a really nice job. We want to build on the tradition that was created before us, and I think we can do that, and I expect that to be done. Our standards and expectations are going to be pretty elite here, and we're going to – the coaching staff is going to work twice as hard as the players, so the players will know that this is something that's going to get done ASAP.
Yeah, I understand exactly where you're coming from. I had a football job one time where – football practice, generally high school anyway, starts around August 1st or July 31st, whatever, but it was August 1st, and I actually got the job on August 1st. And when I walked out to meet the players, I walked straight out of the principal's office, still dressed in a suit, went straight to football practice, like 110 degrees, still went straight to football practice because we were going to have it with me in the suit. I was going to drop clothes along the way, and the interesting thing was there were 24 players. Mm-hmm. I said, 24 players. I said, I said, the JV team. I asked the AD, I said, okay, where is varsity? He said, that is varsity. I was like, okay, do me a favor. And out of those 24, 12 of them were ninth graders. I said, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to CVS Pharmacy, get me a case of Maalox and some ibuprofen, because my stomach's going to be tore up and I'm going to have a headache. But I'm going to go out here and we're going to start this process. And we took those kids, those 24 kids, and guess what? We went to the playoffs for the first time in 20 years of that school. So it's possible.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of hard work, and they've got to buy into the system. And I know the way that you coach and the way that you relate to players, they will buy into that system, and your system does work because of the success that you've had everywhere that you've been.
Yes.
Now, I've looked at some of the stats for last year, which, somewhat telling. Now, I know you're a defensive guy. You think defense sits there and sparks off the offense, which is what most coaches think. But one thing I was looking at is your points per game is 72.5 points per game, and also another telltale sign was your free throw percentage, about 67%. Well, have you bought in any players? First of all, that means to me the 72 points is pretty good for college, for college basketball, but it needs to be just a little bit better. And of course, those free throws, in my opinion, need to be 100% because they're free, so you should hit them. Have you bought in any players? any junior college players or recruits that could help get that offense sparked off, and the defense also.
Yeah. You know, so to kind of give you a little bit of background on where we're at with our team, you know, we like I said, we had 8 eligible players when I first got here. We ended up bringing in about 3 or 4 after that that time frame. We are currently in the process of recruiting basically a brand new team. We had 5 players that really took on the meat of our minutes this year that averaged probably between 30 and 32 minutes per game, which is something that, as you've seen me play and seen me coach with the teams that we've had in the past 5 years before USC Aiken, that's traditionally not something I like to do. You know, I like to play about 10 guys, whereas here we were playing like 6, maybe 7, and that's not something we like to do. So of those 6 or 7, 5 of them were seniors. So they ended up taking 75 to 80% of the minutes and points per game through graduation. And we are bringing in practically a brand new team. We want to do things very similar that we did at Lewisburg from the respects of, you know, how we want to manage our depth chart, what positions that we want to put a lot of priorities in. You know, we want to play 10 guys. We probably want to bring in about 14. We play more of an equal opportunity offense that puts a lot of stress on the defensive end. So the guys know that if they're not playing defense, they're not going to play here. And it's that defense is going to fuel our offense. But for us to play at the energy and the level of expectations and standards that we have for our players, we need 10 guys. You know, we don't want guys to pace themselves. If they're pacing themselves like you would in a program that only plays 6 or 7 or maybe 8 guys, we're not doing what I really want them to do, which is to play all out energy for the 4 or 5 minutes that they're in the game. And I tell them, you know, if you play 4 or 5 minutes, you should be exhausted. If you're not, then you're pacing yourself on one side of the court, and that's not what we want. So the way we can do that is to bring in and play 10 guys, which is what we're doing. But to answer your question specifically, we want to diversify our depth chart in year one through an equal amount of senior, junior, sophomores, and freshmen. We've signed 3 freshmen so far. We've got commitments and signs from about 10 guys up to this point, junior college, Division I transfers, and freshmen, and we're looking to sign about 4 more. And then when we have that team intact, then we can use the month of August to really nail down specifically the offensive philosophy that we want to implement once preseason starts. So it's still going to be you know, a lot of energy and time put into recruiting over the months of June and July, but hopefully we'll have everybody in place. So 3 weeks prior to our first preseason practice, we'll know exactly, you know, what direction we're going to do offensively. Because defensively, you've seen us play. We're not going to change. I mean, we're going to be high pressure, high ball pressure in the passing lanes, create a high amount of turnovers, rebound opportunities, and get out and go. And if we can do that with 10 guys, where teams, when they play us, I mean, there's no rest. And we want to throw waves and platoons of players at our opponents. And this year I'm excited about that because I think we'll be able to do that. And that's something that we're looking to do.
I mean, I love watching your team defensively because, you know, you have a tendency of doing the fundamentals of getting those hands in the passing lanes, blocking them off. You know, I don't know, you know, I watch the NBA and I watch some other college teams. There's no rule that says I have to let you see the ball coming.
Right.
I mean, I can get my hand. I mean, there is no rule that says I can't put my hand in there. There is no rule that says I can't talk on my switches or my screens or whatever, my rubs that's going on. Great communication. Now, one thing I did notice when you were at Lewisburg, and I know that it's a little bit different, but the first time I walked in the gym, the first thing I thought was, my God, there's no players left on the football team. All the football players are on the basketball team. Is there a certain size player that you look for? I know specifically for what you want to do, you like finesse, power, quickness, and tenacity. I know that. So are you looking or what are you trying to do there at USC Aiken? Are you trying to, you know, beef them up a little or be a little more finesse in your the Peach Belt Conference?
Well, you know, the first thing before I really harp on the physical traits is I really try to narrow down our recruiting from what I call the three P's. You know, how are they? Do they fit us as a player? Do they fit us as a person? Or do they fit my personality? You know, as a player, you know, as you know, we want to put defense first. We want to rebound. We want to get out and go. They have to be fast and quick to satisfy those physical traits that we're looking for. You know, as a player or as a person, you know, we really harp on the kids that have high character, that have extreme work ethic, and are very coachable. And if they possess those three characteristics, then we know that they're going to develop at a high rate. If they have all the answers, then they're not coachable, and they're going to be the guy that is the same player as a freshman or as a senior as they are as a freshman. So we really want those three things as a person. And then from a personality standpoint, I want somebody that loves the game as much as I do. I want somebody that wants to work just as hard as I do. And not to say we're going to be the same person, but I want their personalities to be consistent with mine from the respect of how they approach the game of basketball. And then to dive into your question that you just asked me, you know, we can bring in a little bit higher level. Where we've brought in about three Division I transfers, one from Utah State, one from Furman, and we've got a commitment from another school as well. I can't talk about just yet because it's not been publicized. And so, but the signs we can talk about. But I want to bring in, you know, four post players that I feel like have the size and stature to help us to get out and run. You know, there's a preconceived notion, I think, out there with a lot of people that, hey, you know, you to play fast, you need a lot of guards. Well, that's not the case. I think to play our style, to get out and play fast, you need to get rebounds, right? Because you can only get out and run three primary ways: off of a turnover, off of a miss shot, or off of a make shot. And if we don't have big guys to get rebounds or defend the paint, then we're running off of made shots and turnovers, and that's not what I want to do. I want to make sure that we're running more off of missed shots and turnovers. So we're going to have play more of a three guard, two big lineup that allows us to take advantage of smaller teams and rebound late in the game, so we can continue to keep pushing the ball. Because the more rebounds we get, the faster we can play, and I want to play with bigger bodies.
Yeah, I mean, I love the, you know, the analogy of, you know, that you want the player who wants to get out there. Like, you know, I know you've probably been in the same spot. You got a senior that comes up and says, "Coach, I've been here 4 years and I think I should be playing." And you'll just sit down and look at him probably the same way that I did and say, "Really? Now, have you been here? Are you really a senior or are you a freshman that has been here 4 years?" That means, have you developed your game over the last 4 years, or are you still stuck in freshmanitis thinking because you advance, you know, with the number of credits in school that you become an instant player, and that just doesn't work. So, you know, it's kind of like that work ethic thing. Well, Linda, you have some questions for Coach?
Yeah, I do. Just want to talk about, are you still doing your the Toledo basketball camp?
Hey, well, we, you know, when I was at Toledo, you know, I ran a lot of the elite camps and was a part of the day camps. So yeah, here at USC Aiken, we're going to be doing a lot of the same things.
Okay. Yeah, I see here that you advise and monitor players with individual classes. So what? Talk about those classes. You know, said to help your team with the, you know, among the Division I schools, they did very well. So what were some of the strategies that you were teaching or that you were doing in those classes?
Well, I think, you know, first off, you know, when people talk about having a good GPA, you know, it's funny, I heard a great coach once say, if you want somebody that is tough on your team, then go recruit a tough player. If you want somebody that's going to have a high GPA, go recruit a kid that has a high GPA. You know, it's tough to get it. It's tough to make somebody that doesn't care about academics care about academics when they come to your school.
Okay.
So we really put an emphasis on recruiting aspect of say, hey, you know, a part of our GPA, there's no magic potion while all of a sudden, you know, we have a good GPA or a high APR at some of the former institutions I was at. It was, we went and got kids that cared about their academics. I mean, that's the magic potion. And then along the way, we reemphasized the importance of what it took to be a good student. We would have, you know, we would have life skills days where people would come in and talk about, hey, how important this was. Guys that my players looked up to, right? So if they saw that, you know, somebody they admired was that took academics seriously, then of course they're going to take academics seriously. So we just put a heavy emphasis on making sure that that was an important part of our college experience, and making sure that that didn't take precedent over the basketball end of things. Study halls, monitoring classes, making sure that these guys knew that this was high up on our priority list, because it's easy to slip, and you can slip at any time. But that was one part of our job that we weren't gonna take a backseat to. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yes, yes, that was very good, because I teach, and I see a lot of students that are great athletes, but they're you know, the academic piece is not where it should be, and so you know we would we try to instill in them as well that they need to get their academics intact. So, you know, because they're great athletes, they're great players, you know, but that's just, you know, that's, we tell them that that's not the only aspect. You know, you still need to have, you need to be well-rounded, you know.
Absolutely.
Academic as well as the athleticism. So another thing, too, you said you conducted individual workouts for your players. So what are some of the things that, what are some of those things that you did as far as the workout for your big students?
That's a great question, you know, and at the Division I or Division II rule, they have an 8-hour preseason rule, meaning you have 8 hours of preseason skill development that you can have with a player. So out of those 8 hours, 2 hours are skill development, 6 hours are for conditioning and weight training. So we really only have 2 hours per week that you can divide up any way you want, whether it be with a team or whether it be four-man workouts. So for us, we decided to do, you know, 4 30-minute segments with a four-man workout with each of our guys. And a part of that, we want to make sure within those 30 minutes, we want to make it consistent with what they're going to see once the season starts. You know, I want everything that we do is progressive. You know, if somebody was to ask, hey, Coach Vandersloys, you know, how would you define your preseason practices, and I would say progressive. We want to take baby steps. You know, a lot of coaches want to throw the big boot camp at them all at once, and I'm not a big believer in that, because I think people can get injured, and people you know, just don't take it as serious in the long run. You can burn them out. But for me, we try to take baby steps that lead up to when the season starts on October 15th. They're prepared physically, emotionally, and mentally to step foot on our first practice and make sure that they don't miss a beat. We don't want our preseason conditioning and our preseason workouts to be inconsistent with what they're going to see in our normal 2.5-hour practice session. So that's kind of how we approach our instructional opportunities with the players, is to make sure that everything that they see early on is going to progressively build them up to be ready for our first practice on October 15th.
Yeah, you know, and another thing, Coach, too, the biggest no-no or the biggest taboo for practice is wasted practice. Okay, wasted drills. Okay, I want to do everything. I'm like, I want to do everything in practice that's going to simulate everything that we do in the game. You know, of course, I did football more than anything else. If we're going to, you know, simulate spinning with your right hand on the ground, that's something that is going to definitely happen in the game that we have judged through filming, through watching film work, that is going to be important. And the kids look at you like, why are we doing this? We've been doing this for 2 years now, and I haven't really had a chance to use it until you get in that big game, and all of a sudden, whoop, we're spinning, and we don't know why we're doing it. is called
well, there's
muscle
a lot of, there's a lot of comparison. Yeah, there's a lot of comparisons to the academic world. I mean, a lot of people in academics and teachers and professors, you know, it's the same philosophy. You take baby steps and get them prepared for the final exam. And they have opportunities to earn points, you know, through homework assignments and research and all that. But you obviously aren't going to be talking about the last chapter before the first chapter. And that's the same thing with us, where we want to start on chapter one. And our last chapter is hopefully putting a ring on their finger by at the end of the year. And so we make sure that everything that we do falls in line with putting priorities and emphasis on being prepared for the final big day. And it starts from day one and finishes at the end of the year, of course.
Well, yeah, just like me, I was telling Linda the other day, I said, you know, when I was in school academically, the teachers were trying to prepare me, and I didn't want to worry my parents about them coming up to school during the day watching me win all those academic awards. So to this day, I have not won an academic award. I have kept my word, and they haven't had to come up to any school because I graduated with a new category. You know what that category was? Thank you, Lordy. So now there's Magical Lordy, and then there's Thank You, Lordy, and that is me, and that's what
right.
I graduated. Well, Coach Vanderslice, I want to say thank you so very much for
appearing
here.
Oh, it's been
a
pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. This was great.
I tell you what, it does bring back memories. That I mean, we just sit there and just talk basketball all night long, and it was the greatest thing in the world, and it brought back that old feeling. It's just, you know, you're one of the best young coaches I know. You're just one of the best people I know. Forget the X's and O's, okay? You're one of the best people that I know. And I always like to be around good people. You know me. Because
mm-hmm.
I can't handle bad ones too well. I don't keep my mouth shut around bad ones.
Well, it's definitely a pleasure to be back on here, and hopefully I'll be invited to come back on many more here in the future.
Hopefully we'll have something
more to talk about.
Oh, I'm telling you. Hey, Coach, you will. I'm telling you. As a matter of fact, you never know. I have a tendency to come down in that area because, you know, I do broadcasting now for North Carolina Central, and we come to play Furman
yes.
and some other schools that we're trying to solidify down there. So you never know. You just might look up and see an old fat bald guy that walks like Fred Sanford sitting up there in the stands. You just never, ever know. Well, Coach, thank you so much for appearing on the show. And, yes, hopefully we can get you back on, you know, many, 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 many more times in the future.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, and thank you so much, Linda. I appreciate you having me, and it was definitely a pleasure.
Okay.
All right, Coach, take care.
All right, you guys have a great one. Bye-bye.
All right, you too.
All right. That was head basketball coach Mark Vanderslice of UNC Aiken in Aiken, South Carolina, one of the young lions in the sport, and he is really making a name for himself, and he's going to down there at UNC Aiken. Work, the process, belief, tenacity, and intensity, that is Mark Vanderslice. We'll be back right after this on the Overtime Sports Show.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Overtime Sports Show. I can't talk now, right? Welcome back to the Overtime Sports Show. I want to say thank you once again to Mark Vanderslice, the head basketball coach at UNC Aiken, for appearing on the show tonight. Hey, we got a lot of guests coming up here, Linda. Like tonight, we had Mark Vanderslice, and then on the 6th of June, we have Kathy Reeves of PD Sports Recruiters. Now, she's going to come on, and she's going to talk about recruiting. One of the things that Coach Coach Van Slyke talked about was, you know, how young people these days don't seem to understand the importance of social media, because you can tweet one thing, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, I don't know what they got now. They probably got Flapjack, and it will ruin an entire career. You'll be the best fullback in the state of North Carolina that's playing basketball down at the Y. We got Norbert Rome. He's coming up from Dillard University. He's the head women's coach there. Then we have my buddy indeed, Cal Serba, the SID at North Carolina Central University. He's going to come on and talk about, you know, the role of the SID and the very important role of the SID. And then we're going to have LaTanya Lamani, the brand-new coach from Winston-Salem State University, once again leaving the coaching tree of North Carolina Central and branching out. Adrian Jones, Shaw University, the head football coach, once again leaving the North Carolina Central University coaching tree, and he's branching out also. Juanita Farrow, the author of The Common Good, she's going to be on the 21st of June. And a MEAC champion softball coach, Veronica Wiggins. Now, she has set all kinds of records. She's won all kinds of titles, and her team did very well. Even though they lost in the regionals, they only lost to Florida State, the number 8 team in the regional, in the Southern Regional, I think it's called, only 1-0 off an error. That was a very interesting call. So softball, lady softball in the MEAC, is getting really good. Of course, we have LaTanya Jones, and she is the head women's coach at Chilwan College, brand new, and she's going to be on the show on the 23rd. And to top it all off, at the end of June, Coach Jerry Mack, the head football coach at North Carolina Central University, go Eagles. He'll be on to talk about his upcoming football season, the last two MEAC championships, and becoming one of the best young coaches in football in the country. Well, Linda, thank you so much for being on the show today. And, well, tomorrow, we will not have a show tomorrow because I'll be going to check out the Long Ball Baseball Program, another great program here in Durham that serves our youth, and I'll be there checking them out and see how things are going over there. So you know it's important. If I don't do a show to go see that, you know it means a lot to me. So, Linda, thank you so much for being on the show today, and we'll see you next week as we start things off. We're talking with Kathy Reeves of PD Sports Recruiters.
Have a good night.